Let's do it.
6 o'clock. I call the meeting. The tree commission to order.
Perfect.
First up is an approval of minutes from last time we met, which was last month.
Anybody? Oh, there's only. Yeah, there's what, two? Let's see. You know, the only question I had is, it says that all commissioners were present, but didn't list no one being absent. Eric, you were here, weren't you?
Yeah.
He was here last time.
That's what I thought.
Okay. I wasn't.
I don't know.
Yeah. You weren't? Yeah, yeah. Okay, then that's the mistake.
Yeah. That long ago.
I had my daughter's birthday that night.
I will get that updated.
Yeah, I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes. All right. Yeah. Is this a new one, Aaron? You got new security measures?
That's for me. Sorry. And the idea is that we do have the ability to lock the door now, and in a few minutes I will do that and put this sign up. But we do finally have the ability to actually lock and unlock it. Good evening, Mr. Mowry.
That just makes it so it's simpler or something, or?
Yeah, so.
So we're safe.
It's a long story that I won't bother going into.
Okay.
Cool. So now's our public forum. If anybody's here to speak on anything that's not on the agenda, now's your time.
Oh, that's me. Ta-da! Public forum guy. Hey, Aaron, I do this every once in a while when I get a wild hair. Jim Falkenstein, Ashland. So I'm back in town for a while. What I like to do is, on my own, just so you know, nobody tells me to do this or wants me to, but I take my drone and I stand in front of the properties that have trees before us, and I take still photos at various levels because I think it's helpful. And I believe one day it will become something that the city officially approves and will do for us. But in the meantime, I'm happy to do it when I can. So I took photos of Prim, beautiful, by the way, very beautiful, and then Hellman, that I couldn't figure out. I mean, you know, it's been a while. I don't have great photos sometimes. I'm still working on that. The C Street thing, that's, which one is that one? Oh, yeah, it was hard to tell which those trees were, but I think it's they're the ones by the fence. They didn't photograph well, but it's a pretty obvious one right there. East Main, let's face it, those are hideous. You gotta do something there. And then Tolman Creek, there's some pretty trees there and a nice lot. I don't know what you guys are doing over there, but it's, anyway, some of those photos I think are pretty helpful. And again, Aaron, just so you know, here's my pitch to you as the city guy.
Mm-hmm.
On the, when somebody fills out, I want a tree removal thing, if there's language on there that says, I allow somebody from the tree commission to take photographs of this situation from the public right of way, including drone footage, which would allow somebody from the tree commission to take their drone, like I do, on public right of way, take a picture from 20 feet in the air, 40 feet in the air, and then 60 to 80 feet in the air. So you give just an overview of that property. If somebody's asking for a tree removal, I think they're fine with that. And if somebody's willing to do it, me, I think it's a good and helpful thing. But if you write that language into each tree request, I think that's something that's, even if nobody takes the photo, the person goes, yeah, you can take pictures of the trees. I want those trees out of here. That'd be great to get photos. Just a helpful thing. That's my idea. And that's one. Two, Ace of Cates is awesome because I was on the Keep the Canal Commission right there, and so we were fighting to keep that open canal and keep all those trees alive and everything. And finally, after the fact, the newspaper article came out, and as the representative of this commission, Ace was like going, that would have killed a bunch of trees. That would have been ancillary damage. Don't cut into my time, mules! So I appreciate all the comments in that newspaper article that came out after we were victorious, temporarily anyway. Still fighting that. Anyway, this is all new. You guys are going to love this. All right, so, mentioned a couple years ago, or within the last couple of years, somebody mentioned something about fruit trees on public property. And some kind of mapping of fruit trees or being able to explain, you know, where an almond tree is or whatever it is. Well, since that time, some local mentioned on the Ashland Peeps page that they were selling the maps. They walked around and mapped every single fruit tree in the city.
That's all public property?
Ish. It's questionable. But, so, the thing is, guys said, sell it to somebody for $1,000 or whatever. I have to be. Where people are like, oh, you're a maniac. No one's going to pay for that. And then one guy would go, that's on my property. Screw you. So, he said, I'm giving those maps to the Pronto Print, and anyone can print them out. So I did. I bought them for $14 or whatever. And then I plotted every single one of them. Not every single one of them, because he had like mint and, you know, sumac. I didn't put sumac on there. No one's going for sumac or cattails. No one's going to eat that. But as far as like, and the first, I put every single reasonably edible tree that this guy listed on one map, which is right here, and I put it on these discs, on these hard sticks, which you guys can have, and I will let you just play with them if you wish. My point being is I don't know if it's a good idea to point out where every single fruit tree in the city is, but I think it's an interesting concept that if the city were to own on their property fruiting trees, sure wouldn't be a bad idea to have people come and take that mess to a bee away, which is remove all the fruit before it becomes a mess for the city to clean up, right? Which is a lot of it. And a lot of people have more than one tree, most of that stuff hits the ground and becomes a disaster. So this is, I think, a fun starting point. It was a little, you know, I can't verify any of that information, but I think it's an interesting concept, and it's something to throw into the mix. So that's it.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Good to see you.
All right,
yeah.
Good to see you. Thanks, Jim.
Public forum, if you're
here. Yeah, real quick.
Sure. If you want to come forward and let us know your name.
Oh, my name is Huel Scotchen. Okay. And I live real close to town.
Huel, how do you spell your first name?
H-U-E, like the color. H-U-E-L-Z.
Huel.
Okay. And you heard of the CEP plan, the Climate and Energy Action Plan? It was passed as a resolution or something. And on page whatever it is, 40 or something, it says, way down in there, it got passed. And the mayor says to me, where did we get this? Well, what happened was, it says, ensure all city departments educate their staff members about the Climate and Energy Action Plan. Okay, well, the Planning Commission department says we're not doing that. And, yeah, if this is climate, it's like really wild. I mean, it's a total redo of everything. It's like impossible. And also it says, consider climate change in all city council policy, budgetary, or legislative decisions as part of the council communication documents. And incorporate CEP goals and actions in future updates. So it doesn't really say that you guys have to do it in, but it's going to. You have to count carbons. We're going to teach you how to count carbons for every action. Now, cutting out a couple of trees doesn't really count, but that enables people to build, these guys, the builder guys, to build houses, which are now, and they're working on it, adding carbons for the next 100 years. So you're adding a ton of carbons every time you enable with a tree cutting down. And there's a whole bunch of them tonight. Huh? Well, I'm not going to stay for it. But I just wanted you to hear that. And so they're going to come and talk about what all this is.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Chris, we have representation here from the third and fourth items on the agenda.
I thought we'd do a little rearranging if anybody has any issues with that. Did you have anything on the liaison report?
Oh, yeah, real briefly. we spoke last month about the very few nominations we've received for Tree of the Year as yet. I spoke with Derek and Maria about this in an effort to try to keep this thing going, to get some nominees. We went ahead and pushed the deadline out to be right before our March meeting. It's going out in the City Source newsletter, so hopefully that will solicit some additional input. Maybe we can actually get some nominees. For those of you in attendance, anyone who's interested in nominating a Tree of the Year, we're really needing some nominees.
When's the deadline?
The deadline is March.
Okay.
March 4th. And I'm sorry, which sir, what application are you with?
I'm Micah.
You are Micah. Thank you. You changed.
I was standing here. I didn't know if I should. I've never done this.
So, Chris, we actually have representation from the first, third, and fourth item on the agenda.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. I didn't see you out there. My apologies.
No, it's okay.
So anyway, the City Source newsletter is going to have that form in it. Hopefully we'll get some additional nominees. In the March meeting, we will select finalists and then immediately get it out to voting for awarding it at the Arbor Day activities. So fingers crossed that we still get some nominees in and actually have a Tree of the Year this year. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. All right, well, let's we'll move on to the Type 1 reviews. And so just read through our process here. This is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping of trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. And two, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Three, after the staff report, the applicants and applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. And the commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Fourth, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or matters which has been raised. And then lastly, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. This first planning action, so we'll stick with, since Micah's here, with the one on C Street, which I've had some involvement with. So, Asa, it's all you.
Okay. Plan in action, PA Tree 2019-91, subject properties 1005 C Street. Owner applicant Michael Lieberman.
Yeah, Lieberman.
This is a request for a tree removal permit to remove two trees that were previously identified for protection during planning action for additional development of three cottages. The two trees in question are a box elder and an apple tree. During the did Chris have to read this?
Sorry.
The blurb? No, he didn't.
No.
Okay. No. Two trees, a box elder and apple tree. During the excavation process to form the foundation, it was determined that the box elder, due to a drafting error, was not on the plan and that the location of the apple tree was erroneous.
So as usual, my blurbs generally have a good amount of the content in it. Mike is here. I'll ask him to speak on his behalf in just a moment. For those of you who have done site visits, it's clear that there was tree protection that was in place. This was an approved planning action for the development of the cottages. Tree protection was in place. It was approved. And they began excavation work to form up the foundations. They realized they needed more space than they had and really, really basically worked in the tree protection zone in an effort to get the foundations formed. Now, they deliberately caused some damage to those trees in that process. They approached us requesting an emergency removal. As you guys know, the definition for an emergency removal requires the imminent danger of collapse. While they clearly had caused significant damage to the trees that were going to affect their survival, we couldn't authorize an emergency removal. It simply didn't rise to the level. That brings us to here. What you see before you is evidence of, you know, severe excavation within the root protection zone and the request to have these two trees removed. One had previously been identified for protection, the other one was erroneously not on the plan. And with that, I would turn it over to Micah to make whatever presentation you wanted to the tree.
Sure. And then, you guys, I've never done this, so you tell me if you have questions or anything like that. I wrote up, do you guys have this too, what I wrote up with the original? I don't know, so I think there's a few things. One is that I love trees, first of all, but that's not relevant. We are trying to build the two cottages, and when I was working with Fotini, she said, hey, you have to kind of show what your landscaping plan is. I do my own landscape. I need to be a landscaper. So I kind of drew something up. I said, it's not going to be exact because I'm going to figure it out on site where I want to block windows, where I want to put a laurel or something like that. So I gave her something. And then later she said, you need a tree protection plan. I said, what is that? So she explained it. And I said, okay. So I did, you know, I have a blurb in here, an actual original picture of what I kind of did, a screenshot. I'm not a pro. This is just my hobby. I have a real job that I do on the side. But I kind of did something that I thought was roughly accurate of like, hey, this is where I think we're going to put gate to kind of shore things off. In the main house, there's a tenant with a child. So I kind of wanted to use the fence to kind of separate them, and because they're staying from the construction as well. Once we started, then it was obvious that the box elder was in the foundation, actually in the foundation. The old apple tree was too close where it would just be on top of, it's not what we would want. And then the two box elders that are the smaller kind of volunteers that are on the fence, they're smaller, those were kind of inaccurately to the left. So I just showed that in the picture how it wasn't quite exact, but it had an impact because it's too close. So if I was doing it again, I would take them all out and have planted superior species. I would have done horn, after the fact, I would have planted hornbeam, paper bark, you know, paper bark maples, things that actually would be in the right place and be the right species. I would not want any box elders on my property. It's not a good thing to have. So, anyways, and the bigger box elder that is doesn't, you know, Aaron, you're in Jerem, right? Aaron, we met.
Correct.
Okay, so I was like, Aaron, it's an emergency. He goes, no, it doesn't rise to the occasion. I go, okay, because I don't know the definition of that. But I'm like, from me as a common sense perspective, as a guy working this property, I would err on the side of my tenant and the kid over the tree. And that's just me. So I think that there is the spirit of what I had written in our tree plan, my landscaping plan, I guess, which was approved by the city, but then I was told, because the person who approved it's no longer here, I was told, well, that's not the language we use, because what I wrote is, I'm going to do my best to try to keep those trees, but I'm going to figure it out on site once we're there. And now we're there, and I should have removed them in the first place, but I was hoping to keep them. So, and that's the language we put in there. So the spirit of what we're doing is that we wanted to try to keep as much as we could. What we will have in the end are better species and a better true landscape. And what you have now are a few old box elders, which are not very nice trees in this application and where they are. And also, they're just too close to the house. I wouldn't want them there. And I don't like the way that the one box elder, if it would be close to the cottage, even if we were able to preserve it, I don't know, it'd just be too close. I wouldn't want it there. And I wouldn't want it where it is now because of where those people are living and where the kid plays. So if I did it again, I think the tree protection plan I put in place was just a paperwork thing I was trying to supply.
But I think what I wrote up wasn't very good. It was just kind of a drawing that wasn't accurate. I would actually, the trees that mattered are the cedar and the pin oak, and they're not in the path of construction. So I put a fence around them, which cost me money, but it has no purpose. So it's kind of just jumping through hoops in a way. And that's the purpose.
To protect the root zone.
On the pin oak and the cedar, it has no purpose, is my point. The pin oak and the cedar are in front of my house.
Well, yeah, but the fence is there to prevent you from putting construction material there and compacting the root zone. So I disagree with you that it has no purpose.
Okay, so I understand that. In this application where the house is, the only way to impact the pin oak would be to destroy the front garden. So what I'm saying is I wouldn't want to destroy this. Is I'm not a contractor. This is my house. This is I own this, and I put that landscaping in. So I would not, just common sense wise, I would not put anything there. So the fence I put there, I put it there to satisfy a need. But there's no way for us to even encroach upon that landscape. It would be on top of the front porch. So I understand what you're saying. Tree protection plants have a purpose. Totally agreed. In this case, where I'm putting it on the front side, in front of the cedar and the pin oak, which I care about, it doesn't impact them. Over on the other side where there's construction, there's some box elders and stuff like that. So I think, anyways, I think most of the information's there. This is all new to me. I think we came up with a pretty good plan for our landscaping, and some of this is creativity. I build nice places. I care about my landscaping. If you look at my properties that I own in town, they're all cute and creative and have really nice landscapes. They're not like minimalist properties. And these are going to be really cute, colorful cottages that are going to be great, and I'm going to put landscaping in them because I think the landscaping is key not only for aesthetics, but it allows you to create privacy for people. If you strategically place your shrub, I'm a longtime landscaper. I love this stuff. What I didn't do correctly is, kind of have it to scale or whatever. So the fact that once we hit those, we saw that, I think in most cases it would have, I think everybody agreed when we came in, Aaron said, hey, I know the situation, my build. Everyone agreed that the poplar has to go, the box elder, sorry. And so then I said, well, what's the process? Do I get my arborist to do it? Because it's kind of against the foundation, because I'd rather do it now before I pour. And they said, no, you have to wait and go through the process. Okay, cool. I got it. How does that work? And what it entails, just so you guys to know, I'm not giving you hard time because you're volunteers, is for a regular person like me who's been in this project for 2 years, get everybody lined up and to remove a box elder from a foundation that everybody agrees has to go.
Well, we're the tree commissioners, so we make the recommendation to the planning department,
right,
whether or not.
Right. Okay.
So,
yeah, but
so we're aware of that
when
process.
You see it, but it took me 2 years to line my guys up. And then it takes, then I have to delay a month for a box elder that's on a foundation. I don't know. It's just for me as a regular person who has to spend money and who's done this a few times and who's, loves, I don't know. It's hard to figure out how to satisfy it through words. So I did my best with this. I gave you guys a lot of information of like, hey, this is where things are. If you've seen it, it will make sense.
Yeah, I saw it happening mid-process.
Yeah. So
to be clear, your request is, in addition to the two trees that were damaged from excavation, additionally, the plum tree side.
No, the plum tree was, originally the plum tree was supposed to be removed a long time ago, but I kept it. It's the two little box,
it's the sister box elders. On the corner.
Yeah, so if this is the property, there's the bigger box elder. There's the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two little box elders there that are kind of...
Volunteers.
Yes, they're volunteers. The plum, Aaron, is the one is over here, which is not on the plan, which I preserved because it wasn't supposed to be preserved. But I said leave
it
to see if we can keep it.
Okay, so you're just adding the two other box elders.
Right. And again, my attitude towards everything is I want to keep as much as I can, but I don't want to not do a project or not... have a house or create unsafe circumstances for a box elder. I just, to me, that's why when I did this with Fotini, I said, here's why things
wrap it up the next minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's where things are, and the city approved the language I gave said, I want to try to do as much as I can. Here's what I think I can do. And they said, cool. And then I came back. That person's no longer with the city. And that agreement that we had of, like, do your best, I guess, isn't legal. So I did my best. So
okay.
That's all I can say.
Thanks. Do we have any questions for Micah?
No. Nope.
Okay. Thanks.
That's it, you guys?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can hang around.
They're going to deliberate now.
Or, yeah.
Should I not be here for you guys?
No, you can be here.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Right on.
You said you were there.
I saw the excavation. I was like, yeah. Well, first I saw the tree protection, and then I saw it getting moved over for the excavation. I was like, that's a little interesting. It hasn't come to us yet, but now it's come to us. Maybe it had come to tree commission like a long time ago. But anyway, yeah, so it wasn't on the plan originally. The tree protection was there, was ignored, and then the excavation that was required for the approved building was put in. The roots are damaged, but from what I saw, I mean, it's not like it's going to, if anything, it would fall, you know, towards the street. I don't think it's going to fall, you know, roots have the strength of the tension. So the roots that were disturbed are where the foundation is. So it's not going to pull away from those healthy roots onto the structure. You know, I think if the tree dies, then remove it. But right now, it's a healthy tree. That's how I thought.
The big box
same
elder?
With apple. Apple's not hurting anything.
So the...
As far as
moving,
the other...
By moving the tree fencing, did that mess up the root structure or anything?
But the excavation, yeah.
The excavation did.
I mean, you can
so they're still, are they still going to live through that, in your opinion?
I think the apple, for sure. I think the box elder, I think, has a good chance. If it doesn't, then you could still remove it. It's not a huge tree.
So right now, they could be safe.
I believe that's so. True. But that's just my opinion. You know, if it does die, or even if it doesn't, and this comes back to us again next month, you know, it's a pain in the ass. That's what it is. So,
And presumably it's no longer in the way of whatever construction activity needs to go on?
It's outside of the footing. I don't know how, you know, we don't really have plans for the building here that I'm aware of as far as how long the eaves are.
So the situation was they were supposed to protect it. They didn't.
Yeah.
And now they want to remove it. Keeping it, I do have one question for you, Micah.
Yeah.
Does keeping it interfere with the construction process?
Yes. And also, by the way, just to make it clear, the tree protection fencing was not supposed to be around that tree. It was supposed to be around the other two elders. If you look at the picture, that tree was not on the thing. So when they placed the tree protection fences, they placed them around that tree that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The other side, so that's why they moved it.
It was supposed to be, what was the tree protection? It was supposed to be around the cedar.
It was supposed to be around the little, the two little pop, two little box elders closer to the fence.
Closer to the mm-hmm. apple tree?
Yeah, so towards the fence, not.
So the large box elder had no tree protection.
It wasn't,
plan.
But we put the fence there because it was in the way, and we just said, well, let's close the playground off. But the
okay.
tree protection was not,
so they were not,
was not
you were not required to protect that
no,
large box elder?
No, that was not in my protection plan.
Okay.
The tree was not on the drawing at all.
I see.
Okay, so...
So the tree should have been on the drawing.
Right, and so when the company should have put the
yeah.
fencing in place, they went, well, there's a tree, that must be the one, and
got
then
it.
They closed
right.
it off, right? And so it wasn't until they actually started the excavation that the realization came that, oh,
right.
this tree actually was never on the plan to begin with.
So this is the first time we've ever contemplated whether that tree actually should have protection, because it wasn't contemplated
well,
when the plan
when you,
first
when you
went
saw
in.
The plan the first time, that tree wasn't on the plan.
Right.
Correct.
So it was not even considered.
It was an oversight.
Got
so
it.
There should have been
tree protection on that tree, though, in the first place.
Well, so if the tree had been on the plan, it would have been patently obvious that it was incompatible with the proposed development, right? Yeah. That's another way to look at it. Because if the tree had been on the plan, I would presume that they would have recognized the conflict and requested its removal when they were getting site design review.
Right. And usually in those cases, unless it's a very significant tree, we say, hey, that's their right to develop it, and we would approve that removal.
I'd imagine that would have been the case.
That's generally the way we roll.
So, although it's unfortunate it wasn't on the original plan and kind of skipped that process, it sounds like it was hopefully an honest mistake. The two existing box elders, 5 inches and 7 inches in diameter, were meant to be protected. So I don't think we should even be considering removing those tonight.
Well, they're requesting us to...
Existing apple tree.
They're requesting us to, based on change...
That... And as I had discussed...
But they don't look like they're in the construction
zone right now,
or the apple tree.
The apple tree is pretty close to where... Once we build your porch out, the apple tree would be in the porch.
Huh.
And I would replace it with superior new trees.
Why did you request... Why was there tree protection around those trees then?
Because was the porch not on the plan?
Well, I'm going to look at the picture. I mean, we thought that if you look at where the corner of the porch... It's a couple feet off, but that couple feet is enough that it's pretty close to the corner of where the post is and where the walkway is.
The deck, you're saying? Yeah, these plans aren't very detailed for us to... I'm ready to make a motion.
Please.
I make a motion to approve the removal of the large box elder, but deny the removal of the two smaller box elders and the apple tree.
What about mitigation?
It looks like they're planning on planting some other plants. On page 11 here, there's the that's tree protection fencing par vertical plan. Portuguese laurel injury.
It doesn't seem to me. I mean, with the additional planting that's going to go in, and with a comprehensive
let's drop that motion.
Yeah,
for now.
I think for a new construction like this, if we'd seen this initially, we'd been saying, yeah, go ahead, develop it. These are not, in my mind, really significant trees in terms of what's going to get replaced with a landscaping plan. Most of them are volunteers. The apple tree, 10 years later, you've got a nice new apple tree if you want an apple tree in your yard. I don't know. It doesn't feel like... It's unfortunate that the tree was damaged and it wasn't in the original protection plan. That's kind of a separate issue, and I'm also hoping it was an honest mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the significance of these trees isn't such that I would want it to really affect their ability to develop the property in a way that they have a nice comprehensive landscaping plan. That they're constantly adapting to these other species. That's just my thought.
But no, that's good.
As someone developing a property, I would prefer to be able to create a comprehensive plan. It sounds like he's got some nice trees that you're intending to put in there and replace. It's. I don't know. That's my feeling.
Yeah, totally.
So you feel comfortable making a motion to that?
Yeah.
If every time we recommend tree protection, it either gets ignored or it's
used, and then it's like if people want to remove an apple tree and some volunteer box setters, mm-hmm. say that straight up from the beginning.
Right.
You know, it's.
That's what I feel too. I do.
So, but if you're ready to make a motion, go for it.
It didn't happen, but.
Yeah, I also know as someone who's done kind of like a home building extension project, things do change.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're trying to figure out the footprint of a foundation, I mean, I don't know how many projects they've been involved with, but things change. And to me, yes, it's unfortunate, and I wouldn't want it to be a precedent. It would be nice if there's some kind of mitigation that could be made for the negligence toward the tree protection plan, but I don't know if we really have precedence for that either. But I would make a motion to approve the removal of the trees to accommodate the development of the property as per their plan.
Okay, I second that.
What about mitigation?
And the mitigation being that they plant
landscaping.
Native species.
Superior species, not box elders.
Right. Do you have any suggestions for recommended trees within that area, within that neighborhood?
No box elders.
I mean, we have submitted on the Planta Fotini, because it's narrow, without European horn, the narrower hornbeams, the kind of the ones that are along mountain, the narrower hornbeams because they're kind of dense and they're deciduous. And then towards the front, if you're on the where you walk up the co-op, they have a really nice combination of medium shrubs, ground cover, and then they have crepe myrtles that are kind of multi-trunked. They have a mid-tier tree.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Let's back to our motion here. So it was seconded. All mm-hmm. those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And all against?
Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Are you guys done with me?
Yeah.
Cool.
That was stressful.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And the landscape will look better when it's fresh. Trust so much.
Yeah, step one. They made the recommendation.
Okay.
It's not final yet.
Okay.
I have to draft findings.
Okay.
That will be done early next week.
Okay.
And when the appeal window finishes, then you can remove it.
Cool.
Okay.
Welcome back, Chris. And then I can go on my calendar.
Do you have to excuse yourself for any others tonight?
Yeah, I booked it a long time ago.
Sure.
But we might as well. And you say, yeah.
So give me a call.
I was just a discussion item. I may have to. So, no.
Okay.
I don't. So.
Okay.
So,
what did I miss? Up there somewhere.
Oh, she was wondering if I had to recuse myself from others today. But how about, should we go?
We should skip to 945
to Tolman. Tolman Creek?
Yes.
All right. Call of order, planning action T2 2019-00012. This is 945 Tolman Creek Road. The applicant is Sean Darrell, Rural Planning and Development. Application is reviewed for 3-unit, 4-lot outline and final plan subdivision approval and site design review permit to allow the construction of a 3-unit cottage housing development for the property at 945 Tolman Creek Road. The existing structure is proposed to be divided into 2 units and a third 400 square foot cottage unit is to be constructed at the rear of the property. We may have a chance to visit this one. Yes. I did not make it out there, but
I've seen it before, but I didn't see it today.
And I got the drone footage. There you go.
Welcome.
But there was no indication on this that of a required tree removal. Was it in the?
There's no request for tree removal. What you're evaluating here is the tree protection plan.
Okay.
Gotcha. They are not requesting to remove any trees.
Okay. I did not get into the backyard. Peeked over.
Good evening, Amy Gunter with Planning and Development. I have some photos. That's the tree in the front, and this is the tree in the back. So that's the one you see from Tolman Creek Road.
Okay.
Here's your copy.
Thank you.
You already have this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Pullman side. This is the rear yard.
Okay, thanks.
I got one more.
This is Sean Darrow. He is the property owner, and he resides on site 2. Yes, Sean. So as indicated in the blurb, it's a pretty straightforward application. There's the existing structure that's going to be duplex, and then a new construction in the backyard. The trees are proposed to be protected with tree protection fencing, and they'll require some pruning in order to meet the wildfire standards for clearance from the new structure's roofline. It's more of an issue for the tree in the back than it is for the tree in the front, just because of the new structure's height in relationship to that backyard tree. But it does not appear to be a substantial issue because it's already pretty high off the ground. The branches already start pretty high off the ground.
On the pine, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's... If possible, I think it's something that we'd like to wait and see what has to be removed until the vertical construction starts. You know, there's some branches that could be cleaned up, but Sean doesn't really want to shave the side of the tree before he knows where that ridge line is going to sit in proximity, because the tree moves away from the ridge line as it's going up. So that's not really how the wildfire ordinance works. It wants all the work done before the on-site fuels get installed, but I think that this one, there's enough clearance that it can possibly work. So that's, you know, sort of the one, like, how do you navigate that? It's a complicated thing, because I think in a lot of cases you have situations where there's potential that people are shaving the sides of trees off, and it's unnecessary, just because if you're looking at 2D plans, it's based on this distance. We're not figuring the taper in. So that's a little more complicated. I know that you guys probably are not huge fans of that wildfire ordinance. Neither am I. As noted, the tree protection fence will be installed. If you look at your site plans, you'll see that there's utility lines that look like they're going through the pine tree in the backyard. Those lines are already there. They're not new utility lines to be installed. They were tapped out or installed when the unit was actually constructed. So there's not a new electric meter being installed there. It's already there. Okay. So just if it would appear like there's impacts to the tree protection zone for utilities, it's not really happening because they're already installed. From the photos, you can sort of see there's very minimal landscaping on the property. Sean has a very low-impact development proposal, low-impact the environment proposal. He's him and his wife have proposed it to be a very environmentally sensitive design, both inside and outside of the structure. And so there's not a big landscape plan proposed to introduce a whole bunch of new plants. They were proposing lawn areas and then raised garden beds for the future tenant use, but not to come in with a bunch of earthwork to install sod or that sort of thing. Sean and I were talking about irrigation and how to install new lawn and vegetation without introducing irrigation to these trees that have never had irrigation in their lives. Because the small size of the unit, this isn't the type of site where they have to suddenly start capturing all the stormwater on the site and affecting the drainage of the trees, or affecting the drainage of the property within, you know, taking it away from the trees and putting it into the storm drain. They're actually going to have rain barrels and then do like a dry creek system that then goes into the storm drain. So this structure that's there is already connected to the storm drain in the traditional manner where you go down from the downspouts and out to the street. The new unit is going to have a rain garden that will then overflow into that existing storm drain system that's on the north property line. So the goal is to do as little work and as little site disturbance in the areas of the trees and on the property overall, just just to build the construction, and then the paved parking areas is really the main changes.
Great. Where is the tree protection plan?
Well, I think John put it on one of the plans. I thought he had 6 foot chain link fence. It's called out on landscape wildfire plan. It's the second one in my package, page 2 of 3. There's fencing called out at the grid line of the tree in the back. There's no work happening around the front tree. That pathway already exists, so there wasn't intended to be tree protection around the sequoia tree. But it's called out on the back as a 6 foot chain link fence.
Do you have a concern about construction material being stored in that area up there?
No, because all access to the site is coming in off the back, down the driveway.
So that tree's not going to be touched, period. Nobody's going to be around it. No
not
trees,
anymore.
No parking.
Well, there's already parking under it. There's a gravel pad under it. You can see that in the plan. It's a mutual ingress-egress access that exists with the adjacent property from a curb cut off of Coleman. So it's not intended to be a parking space for this development, but we couldn't take away that parking space. The impacts of that parking are already there and have been for many, many years.
So people have been parking under it for however long anyway.
Yeah, the house next door is a 1940s house. That was the original Bellevue Grange, moved down there. So there's been a lot of impacts in that tree protection, or in that under that tree for decades.
So this is just a badass tree. That
it is.
I'll nominate it.
He's nominated it for tree of the year.
Maybe this is tree of the year.
No tree of the year on that side.
Yeah, there's none over in that side of town. And we were just talking
about it. We
just
got nominated.
This is the kind of tree nominated.
We love that tree because we feel like it connects to the cell phone tower. That's more of a getting us radiated every day. And then to go on the more of the landscaping a little bit, we're going to put it as a chemical-free, pesticide-free property because we don't do that anyway. The projects were built necessarily they're green, but they're built non-toxic. I read almost every MSDS sheet, SDS sheet manufacturers, and I had a hunt for non-toxic solutions. So almost know every ingredient in the project. And they kept a very clean work area because I'm sure of it. So
it looks like a great project. My only concern is sometimes when things get rolling and you got the fence up, but just having language like, guys, don't park here, no grade change, don't be dumping stuff in that. It's nice to see that just as standard tree protection language, and it's pretty standard just verbiage to put in there. That would be my, I guess, only recommendation. Nice just to tack on.
To the contractors or on the building permit?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes, yeah.
And that makes sense. I think that Sean lives there, mm-hmm. so that is one control. He's been very active in the planning and design. And then Steve Asher is his contractor and built this structure as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's trouble.
And then they worked around the tree even without tree protection when this house was built. So it's a concern.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a precedent we've been trying to set to, short of ordinance change, that there needs to be language as part of the tree protection. I'm not speaking out of turn here, right? And it's a pretty simple, it seems like a technicality at this point, but it's just nice to have it written and just as communicated. I digress. It looks like a great project.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions or comments or staff thoughts, direction?
Are you paving the access to the back unit or
the driveway in?
Yeah.
Off of Chapman, we'd like not to, but yes, I believe that they will be required to pave it.
I'd like to leave it as gravel so all the water absorbs as mm-hmm. it's supposed to, but
the code doesn't allow it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, yeah, because if there's not any retention required and it's just going out to the storm drain, essentially it's getting rid of all that real quick, which is going to make irrigation more important in the summer months. So
I'd like to keep it so it's fully 100% everything's absorbed. I would, but I think they're making me
So we were proposing, there's this little backup hammerhead area that's sort of near-ish the tree. We were proposing that as paver stones. So, like, this is the driveway off of Chapman. And then we were proposing this area as paver stones. Yeah. And then I thought there was a drainage plan. They're going to capture here, take it over to the bioswale, and then it will drain out.
Yeah.
So the plan is, though, even though, yeah, it has to get captured from this portion of the property, the plan is to take it over to here so that it can perk back if possible. I mean, you know, that there's not a lot of percolation that happens outside of the bioswale ditch, because that's not really what they're intended for, but at least it will have some sort of detention in it, into this open space area.
You said the driveway has to be paved?
Driveways greater than 50 feet in length are required to be paved by city code.
What kind of pavement?
It doesn't say. It could be asphalt or concrete,
okay,
or similar.
Okay, but they have asphalt and concrete that absorbs water.
Yeah, the permeable stuff. There's even, like, you can do a slow mix asphalt, so though it's asphalt, it's more cobbly and it's, you know, not as expensive as, like, the geogrids or the permeable
so
asphalt.
That way you could capture your water.
Yeah. In fact, even if you gravel, I thought about even just two lines of, you know, where you drive to be solid, if that's permitted. Right.
Yeah.
Give as much pea gravel as possible, or as much gravel as possible, so it's fully absorbed. That'd be my preference, but it's what they
do. Is the permeable stuff cost prohibitive? I mean, is it really a lot more expensive?
It's substantially more expensive, and then the maintenance of it is more challenging because it's not a maintenance-free project. You have to vacuum them. And in most residential applications, they're not hiring a vac truck to come out to a property and vacuum them out. They do use it in the Midwest, so it is able to withstand freeze-thaw effect. But once the cobbles or whatever it is gets filled, it becomes ineffective. And if they didn't create a stormwater drainage system for it, you get sheet flows off of those things and they just don't work anymore. So I don't dissuade people from it. If they can afford it, sure, go for it. It just, you know, might be a maintenance nightmare. I think in this case, we'd probably do like a slow mix asphalt or something so it's more coarse, but it still meets the definition of asphalt. It's not a fire truck apparatus access, so it doesn't have to withstand 60,000 pounds.
I see a lot of pesticide being used on pavers, too, around town all the time during the summer months.
Yeah.
Loads and loads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God forbid something green should grow there.
Weeding your driveway is a thing.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Any other questions for the
conversation? No. I had a discussion question just to remind myself of the wildfire standards of new construction. I thought they had to be like 40 feet or 30 feet away from...
Not for a mature tree. They wouldn't be able to plant a little...
Oh, for new plants. Got it. Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that mature and existing is okay.
Yeah. You've got the 10-foot separation is the requirement for the mature planting.
Yeah. So then the requirement is if it's currently there, they've got to prune it back within 10 feet of the structure. But if it's a small enough tree, it doesn't have to necessarily be mature. If it's just existing, it's small enough. If pruning is at 10 feet is, I believe, pruning more than a third of the canopy, then it's considered it would kill the tree. And that's a way they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But these trees are definitely big enough that they can prune it to 10 feet from the structure. But
if I could suggest a recommended condition, it would be that the pruning of the pine tree occur prior to CO versus prior to issuance of building permit. Because the hazards are already on the site. You know, this new 400 square foot structure is not really introducing a new fire hazard. Those are already there.
Yeah.
So we'd rather wait to prune till that eave and that ridge line is in the ground, and then they can go 10 feet. Oh, we don't have to prune anything. Or 10 feet, we got to prune a bunch.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, no, that was in the back of my mind, too. So.
Yep.
And I, but yeah, I'm supportive of the wildfire ordinance, but
yeah,
just it creates a
job, yeah.
Pickle in a lot of situations where there's existing plantings.
Okay. I'm ready to make a motion. Anybody else? Yeah, I would move that we approve. On the condition, I would, again, would like to see standard tree protection language to go for in the tree protection zone. Right? I mean, and any of you guys would be able to do that. It also helps with things like root pruning, people, you know, just anything. Again, it's, I don't think it's going to be too cumbersome on you. But anyway.
Can I ask for clarification, Vic?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting the fencing or more the language of protection about the front tree, actual fencing on the back tree?
More of what happens within that fence. You've got the fencing laid out, right?
Right.
And so there's a list of standards. Don't materials, don't impact. So you know the list. I think it's just a good...
In my findings, I think I just, like, state, we'll comply with Chapter 18, 5. But I don't list them out.
Also, when we do fence tree protection inspections, we put a sign on the fence that includes all of those prohibited activities.
Okay.
So if I can include a condition that says... standard disclaimers regarding prohibited activities. Okay.
Yeah.
And we can add it to the building permit set, too.
Okay.
So that would address it both ways.
I would also add the recommendation that fire-wise, any field reduction pruning be done upon completion of project.
Prior to CFO.
Prior to CFO.
What does CFO mean?
Condition of occupancy.
Okay. It's like after the develop,
Okay.
So, all right, so we got to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good project.
Thank you. Now you'll get
thanks
to come
for the
to the planning commission and talk about how great it is.
Pretty easy.
Thanks for bringing real nice big pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, those are nice pictures.
Hey, you can't drone, but they're all right.
All right, so we'll jump around a little bit to the street tree removal permit. Cut order planning action.
Yep.
PA tree 2019-00089. This is 537 Prim Street. The applicant is Scott Mowry. This is a request for street tree removal of two pines that are growing very close to the third one. One of the two pines that is requested for removal has a significant lean over the roadway. So Aaron, if you can bring us up to speed, was this?
Yeah, so
look at this one before?
This is the second time this has come before you. Last month when you guys reviewed it, there was a debate. There was even a discussion about perhaps approving the one that had a significant lien, but not approving the others. And ultimately, a motion was made to deny the application, and that's where we were at. As usual, I communicated with the applicant about what the recommendation of the Tree Commission was. And it's always a little bit tricky, you know. And in this case, Scott asked that he would like to bring it before you again. I believe he may have brought some supplemental materials with him. And I would turn it over to Scott to present his case.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Is that in our packet?
So,
I don't have eight.
I believe you've all seen,
but we saw it last
this map. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is it not in the packet?
I don't think it's in the packet, but we did see it last month.
The last time. And
I remember.
Has anyone not seen it? I'll just pass it.
I'll
show you where it
is. I can go put up any additional materials if we
need.
I'm familiar with the trees. Thank you.
And then I'm just going to pass my phone around because I had such a picture last night.
Did you guys, anyone that didn't see it last month, go see it this month?
I went and visited.
I visited.
Yeah. And that helped, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I have this picture, which is taken from the north looking south down Prim Street. I thought it just showed the relative placement of the trees better than the other pictures that I had taken. The reason we applied for the permit in the first place was that we had hired a quality tree service out of Melbourne, a fellow named Jeff Ward had come and just taken a look at our property. We've had less than a year, and he we had some trimming we wanted done on trees that were near the house, you know, that kind of thing. And then we had some flowering plum trees that obviously were dying. You know, I mean, there were, you know, very little. So we needed some advice on that. And while that was going on, he pointed out the pine trees and said, you have one good pine tree, tall, straight, and he said that if the two smaller trees were removed, then the third one would have a better chance to thrive. Its roots would spread and better stabilize the ground in that location. He was taking the point of view of erosion control with one good big pine tree as opposed to these others that were leaning and, you know, in no particular year, but I mean, if they're leaning and on the edge of the street, then at some point they're going to uproot. You know, we'll have a 1997 kind of deluge and strange things will happen with trees. let's see. One of my concerns was that the two smaller trees were blocking the sun pretty effectively from the larger tree. And as I looked at the larger tree with binoculars and examined it, you know, I could see where the woodpeckers were working rings around it, which that's fine. But I could see some really big spots of pitch coming out of it. And I thought, okay, this tree's doing okay, but it needs all the help it can get because the bugs are around. I come from, we moved up here from Paradise, California, so pine trees were a big part of our life down there. I just wanted to bring it before you again. I remeasured the trees. The larger of the trees is actually larger than 12 and a half inches in diameter. It's more like 14. So there's about, I was estimating about a 15-year difference between the largest tree and the next one down, and then there was maybe about 7 or 8 years for the sprout that's kind of shooting out over the road. It's over the road now, and it's finally got it. You know, it's got out there far enough that it wants to go straight. You know, it's starting to straighten out. It was our idea that just to follow his advice and take the two. If there were, we would. If it was just the one going out over the road that was an obvious hazard that you felt was the single one to be taken, then I would either modify what our permit or just tonight agree to just take that one.
The one that's leaning?
You know, it's just, you know, it's kind of whatever you folks think is reasonable according to the statutes that we have. I'd say that's about it. And if you wanted, and if it was your wish that we, in removing one or both trees, replace them with something else, we would be real happy to do that. You know, put some dogwoods or something that's got a little bit of, that takes advantage of the seasons that we have up here in Ashland. We're down in Paradise, not quite as abrupt. You know, I think people. I have two neighbors that moved to one moved to Santa Cruz and one moved to Santa Barbara for the winter. And in my walks around the Thornton and Prim, I'm thinking these people don't get it. You know, once the deciduous trees drop all the leaves, it's a different place. It looks great. You know, I mean at night.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it.
Great.
Thanks so much for coming in. And then, to your credit, it ended up being a kind of a larger discussion last time.
9 out of 10 people would not bother putting this before us as a street tree, so thank you for doing your part as a community member. I went and visited this, which I didn't last time. I'll stop there for now, but anybody have any more questions for Mr. Mowry? I think for us, it kind of digressed into a discussion of groups of trees. And kind of standard practice used to be, you always want the one strong central one, and at some point, a group can act better than a single one down to a point. I definitely changed my thinking on that single one out over. It's quite small and ready, and I would have said the same thing if I was advising you on the property to remove that one at least.
Yeah.
I would be open.
The one that's leaning.
Yeah, the smallest one. It's not going to last very long. It's pretty severe lean. And I'm open to thoughts on the second one, but yeah.
Yeah, to me, the one that's leaning is like, guilds of plants is good, and it does provide resilience, and they do work together, and they're connected. You know, they do shade each other, but it's not like, you know, this isn't like ideal forestry. You know, this is, you know, where the pictures are. You know, they're just street trees. And, you know, the one that's leaning, it's like, let's say tomorrow, the, you know, street sweeper doesn't say, hey, you guys got to cut this down. Or, you know, leans a little more UPS truck, you know, hits it. my concern with just leaving the one tree is that it would be closer to the electrical box than the rest. So it's sort of like over time, eventually they say, oh, now we got to remove it because it's close to the electrical box. So I'd prefer leaving the two big trees.
And taking out the one leaning.
Taking out the one.
Yeah, that was my feeling too.
He did say he'd mitigate, you know, like plant something else. He'd be happy to do that, maybe in a different place altogether if you think there's.
Yeah, and I mean those are big trees. You know, it take a long time to have the same niche that we're going now. I don't think dogwoods would ever.
No.
I can add that they're. I'm pretty sure they're pretty well watered. There's a street-side 3-inch drain that I took a fish tape, electrical fish tape, and started running up there. And I did it four or five times, and I could get maybe 12, 13 feet. You know, so as soon as I was right underneath the group of pine trees, it was. There was no more movement. No, I couldn't push it through. I couldn't do anything. So I thought, okay, you know, all the drainage from the rear of the house that's going into that kind of French drain that is supposed to empty out into the street is being hijacked by those trees. Mm-hmm. You know,
taken care of by those trees.
They're
doing you a favor. What's that?
I said you just keep them. I mean, keep all the trees.
All three of them?
I mean, you saw the site. I mean,
they're not hurting anything.
If they're not hurting anything, keep them.
I mean, if they're plugging up the drain, that's a whole separate thing, too. But as they are now, they're not hurting anything. But the leading one is they're like, you know,
it has straightened itself up the top, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not actively falling over, for sure.
No.
Yeah, it was leaning away to get light, and then it found it.
But they're nice trees, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, if
it was my property, I'd remove the leaning one.
You would?
Yeah, but I don't think it's like, you know, it's not like a current hazard, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was the point we were hesitant to make, that they're hazardous in any way. They're not. Aesthetically, it would look better with the one at least gone. And if it were mine, I would remove the little one and then start pruning up the other one. Because sometimes you get in there and you remove that second larger one, and then you've got a really skinny one standing by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes hard to make that judgment call.
I agree. It's been shaded for many, many, many years now. You know, probably 30, 40 years, so it doesn't really crown out significantly until it's up, 35, 40 feet.
So as a group of two, you've got a nice full crown and probably well for another 50 years if you wanted to.
So you take the one that's leaning out the front?
I would,
I would second.
A little more cautious for that. Fuel reduction as well. Look better long-term health. But
Maybe if eventually they put a sidewalk in there too, they'd have to go anyway.
There's never going to be a sidewalk.
No.
Not in our lifetime.
No.
We'll all be dead.
Ready to make a motion on that?
I already made one tonight.
Oh, I second it then.
Oh, no, I said earlier.
Oh, I make a motion to approve the removal of the leaning tree, but the preservation of the two that are together. And did we need any mitigation, or is that...
No.
There's quite a lot of trees on that property already, so I think that's good.
Okay.
Any
seconds? I second.
Great.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
So, yeah, you bet. So, just to get a rate, we have permission to take the one that's leaning out into the road?
Not yet.
Not yet.
The Tree Commission has made their recommendation.
Okay.
Tomorrow or Monday, I will consult with the staff advisor who will render the final decision and reduce it to writing, at which time the decision will be final. So you and I will be in touch early next week.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ashland.
Yeah, thank you very much.
While we're on street trees, how about we just do that second one? Called Order Planning Action Tree 2019-00090. This is at 642 and 644 East Main.
Applicant
is Ashland Condo Association. Request for a street tree removal of two dead maples. I make a motion to leave. Those are terrible trees.
All in favor?
Well, before we conclude.
Do you want staff to present my remarks?
Oh, yes, please.
They're dead.
Even the one to the east.
Well, so the one that was further to the east was
slightly more.
Neither of those trees have been in good shape for a long time. I drive down that road twice or three times a day.
The east is buggered to hell. Pruning.
Well, they both are. Yeah, that's maybe why they died.
Just horrible.
Yeah,
they
should come down.
I'm leaving too. This is ridiculous.
All right, Jeff, thanks for your input.
This is easy stuff. They're low hanging fruit.
Thanks for coming.
All right, let's see you again.
Hey, thanks for the pictures, Jim. Appreciate it.
Take care
of that.
You got a motion?
So the street tree. Well, yeah, the street tree is. I mean, the other trees around there are pretty tall, so it's going to be hard to get anything established, but establishing something is better to do now than later.
What about a paperback maple? Would that be a nice height?
Well, so what I was going to wonder is, like, so if a street tree's dead, is that part of code or requirements to mitigate it with a replacement tree?
Yeah, and in this case, I believe there's power lines overhead there.
Okay.
And so you might want to think about recommending a species that's going to be appropriate for the power lines. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the spacing of those trees along that block is pretty tight. It's probably tighter than what we require.
Okay.
But we should ask for mitigation.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, power lines. And that's definitely part of why they're hacked,
Right.
So, and it's kind of like, I mean, it's on the north side of that tall building.
Right, it doesn't get good sun there.
Fig trees like sun, but I'd go for a fig tree. But I don't know, rosebush?
Rosebush.
Something that they never hack up. You know, something that's what's going to stay below those power lines.
Great myrtle, red bud,
apple tree,
plum.
No apple tree. No plum. Yeah.
Apple trees get big.
I like your paper. No
fruit
idea too.
Paperbarks are kind of nice. Yes. They kind of
slow growing.
30-40.
Yeah.
A paperbark birch,
maple. They're tough.
Who said circus?
Who said?
think he did.
They're not cheap.
No, they're cool trees.
Yeah, but they're very cool. And they have, they're just beautiful.
They've got some spectacular ones.
I put a really beautiful one in my backyard, and I love it all year round. But yeah, they're pretty slow.
They're not cheap. I mean, is that like, would that be mean to the applicant to be like, hey,
Well, if they're taking out two trees and they're all really closely, maybe we say mitigate with one planting, put a paperback myrtle in the middle between those two so the spacing isn't totally weird, and then maybe over the years as the other ones die off, we can make the spacing more.
Well, we could just suggest that it'd be appropriate for the space given the power line. It sounds like they've got Casey advising them. I just hate the box.
Oh, Casey.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think it's just a small stature tree that would is approved.
Is there any like ground?
Casey's.
There's no like electrical.
There's
not that I'm aware of.
Boxes
or telephone pole. So there's a telephone pole. But if it's in the center, and it looks like they already have something ready. That dirt right there.
Yeah,
it's like something ready for...
Yeah, spot for something. It'd be nice to have some nice trees along.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can just make it of the applicant's decision, mitigation tree. Or if you want to go with paper bark.
No, I'm not attached. I mean, if there's already good arborist on the project, let them make that call.
Advise, they work with the arborist. Appropriate recommendation.
I mean, it'd be a shame if they just automatically match the species that's there, because it's obviously not a good spot for them. They're all struggling.
Thanks for letting me slow down that motion, but I'll second that.
Okay. So make a motion to approve and that they... under advisement of both an arborist to pick appropriate mitigating trees appropriate for the space.
One or two.
Replacement trees?
Yeah.
Just say replacement?
Well, what's the ordinance on that? Do you think there's just room for one?
It's every 30 feet.
Where's that one picture?
So...
If they're crepe myrtles, you should do two. If they're something big and spreading, you can find the one. Right?
Crepe myrtles are like...
Yeah, like mitigation is required. What else is maybe required? So you, since the language is may, you could select based on spacing to say only one is required.
There's a birch right to the south.
So that's going to be dead.
Possibly. I think that's birch.
There is there's nice birches in the garden bed on the housing side of the...
Yeah,
but so if they're going the way of every other birch.
Right.
Yep. No birches. They're dead already.
Oh, don't say it.
How many years
is that to their discretion?
Well, no one sprays. You got to kill those beetles.
Yeah.
As long as
it's
something, that... It would be a pretty big stretch.
I mean, we might as well have.
What you spray with?
Pretty
cool. And if they're all
I don't know.
No, I don't either.
I'm out of contact now.
I don't either. I think the outlaw probably what it really would work.
It's really? Always too toxic. It's a shame to have them all.
I know my neighbor's a gardener, and he was telling me he had some kind of stuff.
But
winks at me. I'm like,
for an individual, yes.
Are we going to leave it up to Roland? Is that what you hadn't? Isn't that what you decided?
Well, I was saying, leave it up to their discretion. One or two. At their discretion, do one or two.
Yeah.
It might not be, Roland's decision.
Some of that stuff.
A minimum of one.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kent Romney. I'm from the Wildfire Safety Commission.
Oh, right.
I apologize for being late.
Oh, here, I second that motion.
All in favor?
Sorry, I finished that.
Yeah. You guys good with that?
Yep.
You hear all that? Okay.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to get that done.
Yeah, just finish it. Is that the last one?
No, we have two more.
Two more.
What is your name once again?
Kent Romney.
Okay, cool.
Go back again.
Sweet.
So that takes us to Hellman Street.
Yeah.
Hellman. Oh.
Call of order planning action T1 2019 00085. This is 468 Hellman Street.
Applicant is Carrie Kincairn, the owner is Lynn Sconti. This is a request for land partition to create two lots from the property located at 468 Hellman Street. The application also includes a request for tree removal permits for the removal of four trees, a group of three cedar trees, trees number one, trees numbers one through three, at the outer edge of Hellman Street right-of-way, and a 30-inch diameter oak near the existing garage. The project landscape architect notes that the cedars are in poor condition and overgrown, and the oak is in poor condition and challenged by impacts of previous construction. Do we have any site visits? Do anybody need to sit down?
I have site visits, and I have a bunch of photos on my phone. If you guys just scroll that way, and you'll see the group of cedars, and then I've taken numerous photos of the oak.
And I would just draw your attention
How
to...
How did you find such a nice day?
That was today.
Yeah.
Really?
There's some pockets of sun.
Yeah, there were a couple little windows. I walked my dogs.
So I would just draw your attention to the site plan showing the proposed building envelope for the new partition. And when you visualize, she really should have combined these, I think, on a single sheet because it would make it easier to digest that. So basically, that 30-inch oak is smack dab in the middle of where the new house is going to want to be built. And similarly, those the three up by the right-of-way, again, they're not really good-looking trees. They're honestly a little bit questionable whether they're on the right-of-way or on the private property. And they're just requesting to remove all four.
Bit of a subjective opinion there.
I thought
they were beautiful. And I thought the cedars, in my common person's opinion, looked very healthy. But the oak did not look super healthy to me. But
I thought the cedars looked a little janky.
Really?
I did.
Oh, my gosh, they were so lush. And I mean, I've got a janky cedar in my yard. Hazen knows my cedar. It's
it's an odd form.
It's a weird clump.
Kind of cool.
But, you know.
They seem healthy.
It's like, I mean, cedars sometimes do that. They'll just volunteer, like, a bunch of them right in one spot. And it looks like someone, you know, they've kept them there this long. So it's a pretty cool tree, I think.
It seemed to me like they were so close to, I mean, I don't know where they fall on this plan here, but it seemed to me that the cedars could probably be protected. The oak seemed like it was well on its way out to me anyway and probably didn't deserve protection, but that was kind of my feeling, that I'd like to see the cedars kept, but the oak could... But
yeah, but the cedars are going to burn down the whole city.
Now.
In the city.
We're doomed.
Not before that old wooden barn burns down the city.
So you can catch those trees on fire.
Is there any kind of mitigation plan yet? Well, Gary's done it. It must be a landscape.
Well, so it's going to be a single-family home that's developed. Single-family homes aren't required to have landscaping plans per se. That said, associated with this removal, you can certainly request mitigation. That's going to become a condition of approval with the land division. So, basically, yes, in the process of approving this, the condition of approval attached to the partition will be the mitigation.
Okay. Did you say that?
If it was already subdivided, right, and someone was coming in saying, I want to remove that tree because I'm going to build a house here, we wouldn't necessarily be required in that context for a mitigation planting. But because this is associated with the land division, that's what makes it different.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't understand it.
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing is if you look on L1,
yep,
it shows the, I guess, what, the proposed partition, the dotted line.
Yep, that's the proposed property line.
And it's kind of midway. It's 10 feet 5 inches from the existing home.
Correct.
To the north of the existing home. It kind of seems like it's approximately halfway between the proposed building envelope. So if we go to 1L11, mm-hmm, the back side of that page,
we can kind of like draw an imaginary line of where that property goes, or where that partition goes.
So yeah,
it kind of ends up, you know, on one side of that grove of cedars.
My guess is that oak is right about there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the oak is definitely in the.
Yeah,
because here it's like the edge of the oak, the building envelope is less than 10 feet from the property line.
Well, so that building envelope will be 6 more feet in from the edge of the property line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So 6 feet.
So 6 feet. So the. Seemed like there was definitely 6 feet gap between the cedars and where the oak was. They should be well within the existing property line.
The cedars?
Yeah.
No, I don't see how you're getting there.
Well, you said the new property line is going to be 6 feet from the oak.
No. So right now, the proposed partition, it'd be 10 feet from the existing home.
Okay.
And 6 feet from the building envelope. So the building will be essentially that footprint, or rather, that's would be the roof line.
Right. Oh, so, and this is where the oak was?
No, oak is
a, oh, right,
you
yeah.
know,
no, the oak's definitely.
To find out where the oak is in the envelope, what I'm doing is I'm just, you know, drawing a line kind of midway between
the house
and the Oh, wait.
And so you think probably the cedars are in the way of the.
Well, I think the oak will be within the footprint
of
the building.
Yeah, the oak definitely. But
the driveway is going straight into the new structure. So those cedars don't seem like they're going to be affected. I don't know what the grade changes are going to be.
Yeah, the only thing, it might be a wildfire question actually, is just what governs that. So we've got some existing larger conifers, right, in the new house. This one came up last time too. Ideally, you've got at least 10 feet of clearance, right? Both roof and away from the home. Do you know off the top of your head?
So the canopy, the foliage is 10 feet away, or the trunk?
Yeah, the
foliage.
Foliage is 10 feet.
Well, we don't know how far it
is.
So I guess I'm wondering how far.
Probably measure from the.
For pre existing trees.
Yeah.
I know new trees have to be further away, right?
And this one's full all the way down
full
the ground, pretty much.
Okay.
It might be hard to figure out.
Yeah, do you have a photo of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the photo of the tree now, but the new structure's not there yet. This is the existing.
Russell, do you have a
so they're proposing to have it.
You see those cedars?
No.
They're proposing to remove them.
Oh, to remove
they want to remove them. We're just wondering if we can protect them.
The proposed building envelope is over 12 feet away from the.
These trees are
between
about here.
All right.
And this is the new building, mm-hmm. which is. If I get my glasses on.
Oh, well, there's the driveway, yeah. So the.
That's 20 feet right there.
Is, you know, like 18 feet away.
Be over 18 feet away.
So they're right in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the critical thing is any of the foliage that comes within a few feet of a structure is very problematic. And you know, the biggest issue are the ones that are
overhanging,
abutting next to, growing up through decks.
This seems like it would be at least 15 feet, if not more.
The main reasoning or wanting to remove it because they're unhealthy?
That's what Carrie
what
assessed
they
the
yeah, they
cedars as unhealthy.
They're cedars?
She says they're overgrown.
Cedars.
Yeah, which that sounds
overgrown.
Great.
Overgrown.
Yeah, because they're healthy. They're happy.
A compliment.
No, she said they're in poor condition and overgrown.
How can it be simultaneous?
And I have to say, this is not the first time that I've heard that. A tree is in poor condition, and it doesn't seem to be in my
maybe the poor condition part is overgrown.
Sorry. Have they had an arborist, you know, do some coring and okay?
No, I mean, one aesthetically, someone could be like, you know, oh, they're not that, you know, like Aaron, you know, people would think that looks pretty ugly, but to me, I think they look great.
Yeah, I do too. I think they look lush and healthy and happy.
It doesn't seem, based on what they've submitted, From what I can see, it's not going to impede the project moving forward. I think the oak, if it's in the... I mean, rarely do we have any power when someone's like, we were going to build our building right here.
Yeah.
We can't. Historically, we haven't really been able to say no.
Sorry.
Yeah, you got to move.
The tree has more rights than you.
Even when we do give it the recommendation to say no, the planning department says, well...
Yeah,
they kind of have to be able to build a house.
Yeah.
So
I like them. And we'll hear about it next month.
Yeah.
Gary comes in to explain it to us. But
yeah.
But as far as the oak, I'm talking about the oak.
Oh.
We kind of don't really, I mean, there's no neighbors saying, oh, man, you know, my grandpa planted that tree. You know, it doesn't seem like there's much going for the oak other than that. You know, I think it's a pretty cool tree, too. But
did you see the photos?
Yeah, I mean, all the...
It's a lot.
It's kind of like that tree on a.
It looks like it's got a fungus or something.
Or whatever, over off of a.
Yeah, that's what I.
I forgot
what they call it.
A lot of dieback.
Witch's broom or something on the tips.
Mistletoe?
No, witch's broom.
Do you have any more information about the cedars?
Nope.
Nothing.
So we don't know if it's a deal breaker for their construction plan.
There is no current proposed construction plan.
Okay. This is just regarding the subdivision, but it seems to me that the cedars are on the existing.
Yeah, it would seem to me that the applicant just wants a vacant piece of land. But if you guys don't want to recommend approval for it, that's fine.
I mean, I'm seeing that there's a, as far as the, you know, proposal to divide the property, there's definitely a proposal for a driveway, and that driveway doesn't appear to be affecting those cedars. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, also driveways can be shifted.
Yeah.
Unless it gets shifted, but we don't know at this point. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I wish Carrie was here so we could ask her why did she want the cedars out.
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice. Yeah.
That's what happens when you don't show up.
Yeah. Or are we missing it in the little blurb? I thought this little blurb basically just... What it's talking about is for a non-hazard tree, and she's saying it meets all of those three. Well, she's saying the oak.
Have any canopy densities and erosion and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's got to not be on a slope. It's got to not affect canopy density and species diversity within 200 feet. And
they're scrubby.
Yeah, they're their own individual selves. That's what I keep telling my neighbors when they complain about my scrubby-looking cedar.
Somebody make a motion, please. I don't want to with Carrie.
I'll do it. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. Well, if you're
just my neighbor.
But just if you ever feel like your judgment would be swayed unfairly in one direction or other, you can always
refuse. I know,
or even abstain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sometimes with Carrie, it's like, you know, we work together in some, a lot of times with landscaping and stuff.
You can abstain.
I want to abstain.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
One comment that I was thinking, but I was just reading it here. Years ago, I used to be in the construction industry, you know, continually having to site around trees. This is up in the Portland area. And time after time, and then I was left to oversee and manage, operate those properties for at least 25 years. And I can't tell you how many times we've had these beautiful trees we've tried to save and keep intact, but due to the construction process, they ended up dying in, you know, 5 or 10 years later. And I see that she did make a comment there about previous construction work and such. So that would be my only construction.
That was with regards to the oak.
That's the oak.
The oak.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the oak is definitely in poor condition.
Cedars, they're messy. Clean them up.
So we need to get the verbiage for what I'm feeling is the approval of the removal of the oak, but preferred protection of the cedars.
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. They're not currently affecting what they're trying to do.
I don't think you need to worry about a protection plan because at this time there's no development being proposed other than the subdivision. At the point that development is going to occur,
they're going to have to put in tree protection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I make a motion that we approve the application for the tree removal of the oak tree, but not the group of three cedar trees.
I'll second that.
Those in favor?
One abstain.
What's the difference between abstaining and recusing?
Recusing means you are removing yourself from all deliberations. Abstaining just means you aren't voting.
Okay.
Okay.
And in Congress, I believe you would vote present to do that.
You vote what?
You vote present.
That's like, remember when you were, well, I don't know if you watched the impeachment, there was all these presents. And I was like, what are these presents? It's just people that aren't voting yes or no, but they're just saying, I'm here, but I'm not going to vote.
With lots of consent.
For whatever reason.
All right. This is kind of a discussion I've been, so this is the Ashland Village subdivision, and I...
Yeah,
I've done quite a bit of work in this neighborhood in years past. I'm wondering if I should
set up the discussion.
You know, I don't. You aren't currently doing any work for them. You don't have, I would think, an actual conflict.
Okay.
So I don't think that causes me any heartache. If you want to just, you know, for the real, if you really feel strongly about it, I would understand, but I also think your input on this conversation might be worthwhile.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been involved in tree work in that whole neighborhood, but I'm not actively.
Yeah, a cute little girl.
Jeez, they've packed it in, haven't they?
Okay.
So I don't even know. I can't even recognize the anything anymore
right
here.
Bert,
where are we? What's north, south?
Well, so just give me a minute.
Sorry.
Oh,
here we are.
Do I have the floor?
Yes.
There we are.
Yes. Draft report. What's going on here?
Okay, so what's going on here is that back in March of last year, there was an emergency tree removal that was requested. And Derek, doing a site visit, basically came to find out that even though they'd applied for it, the tree had already been removed, and there had been some other trees that had been removed without permits. And so a strongly worded letter was drafted saying, hey, you guys need permits for this stuff. Get right with planning. It took them several months to reach out to us. It's a homeowners association. Sometimes they're hard to work with. This is a subdivision that was developed in 1995. You'll notice on this plan that I handed out to you, okay, north is up. And the thing that I'd like to point out to you is that the street trees were planned to be at 20-foot intervals. That's something they submitted with us. Okay, so yes, see what you're going with. So... they proposed trees on 20-foot centers, and they proposed western redbuds, which are obviously a small stature tree. If the entire subdivision had been planted with redbuds, we probably wouldn't be having a conversation right now. What happened, though, was while this was approved as the landscaping plan, and this was approved, which caused the tree wells to be installed at that interval, when the landscaping actually came to happen, most of it got planted with redwood ash. And they've had a lot of problems over the years. They had, in her application materials, which, by the way, are not the strongest application materials, but it was all we could do to get them to, you know, to start the process, all right? So we have this situation where... there's, you know, the tree wells are basically 4 foot square. They're at 20-foot intervals, and they have some trees that are really, really mature that have been there from when the subdivision was first planted. Mm. And then they have some trees that have been, over the last 20-something years, have been replaced. And then there's trees that haven't been replaced, and they've pushed back because, oh, trees are so expensive. Okay, this has often been their problem. So the whole purpose of this application and bringing it to you is really more about, more than anything, it's about putting the subdivision on notice. Because, hey, you have an authorized landscape plan,
We're holding you to that. And it's challenging from a planning standpoint because trees obviously don't last forever. They obviously don't last forever in an urban environment.
Yeah.
Now, the letter that I handed out to you with the materials, mm-hmm. this is the one public feedback that I received from a property owner in the subdivision. Their concern, based on the remarks that I made in the noticing blurb, was that we're going to do something like say, okay, you can only plant small statured trees. And really, if you get to the bottom line of his letter, is we value these trees, we understand what went down, please don't make everything be redbuds and crepe myrtles, we like the big trees. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
What's happening at this point is an administrative action is being processed ministerially. The intention, as I put it in the blurb, is to really document and memorialize the current state of affairs in their subdivision to make sure they're aware that trees, street trees, require removal permits. Mm-hmm. A point to that is, as you guys are aware, tree removals in single-family zoning where the property is small enough that it can't be subdivided are exempt. So once upon a time, some years ago, a planner who wasn't me but was in my position communicated to someone in the subdivision, you're exempt, it's single family, you're good. Now, whether that was miscommunicated or whether it was misunderstood, it set off the series of events where they basically understood, hey, we're on our own because we're single family. That should have never been communicated to them. But it became understood like that, and it manifested itself in the HOA. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like I said, the main point of this is basically this is going to result in a strongly worded letter that I'm going to be sending back to their homeowners association. What I'd be looking for you guys is any input on, in particular, the thing that's being considered is they're asking for relief from replanting a couple of things. And this is now going to the very back of the packet. You'll see this map that they provided, this fine map here.
Yeah, very highly detailed.
Very highly detailed. Basically what they're saying is, we're willing to plant this tree and that tree, but we don't think we should need to plant a tree here because there's enough mature canopy between it. Now, what's going on up here, which correlates to here, mm-hmm. this indicates planter strip all along this stretch, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in reality, there's no planter strip along this stretch. It didn't get developed that way because of the nature of where property lines are. So, as a starting point, my position is none of these trees will they be held responsible for ever again because it's not appropriate and there's no planter strip there, okay? Mm-hmm. Similarly, there's a tree right here that is in bad shape. It's in the vision clearance area. It should have never been planted. They want to remove it. I also think that's a fine idea. They're willing to plant a tree here and here, which I think need to be planted. Mm-hmm. They're wanting relief from planting here. I don't think it's appropriate. I think they should be required to plant a tree there.
From staff's perspective.
Yes.
Okay.
There isn't a tree there?
What's that?
There isn't a tree? I thought we
There's a big there. Gap there right now, and it's shown in the photo in your packet. If you look at the second page of photos, this photo right here, is showing that area.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Why do they say they don't want to plant there?
They feel that there's enough mature canopy from adjacent trees that they shouldn't need to. I think they're wrong.
And that's their argument with all of these ones that they're saying they want to be exempt from, is that there's enough canopy.
Well, so here they're saying there's enough canopy, and truly the trees are on the opposite side, right? The other thing is that, you know, one of the things we want to do is strive for ensuring species diversity. Again, the main thing for me to come out of this is making sure that they understand that when there is a tree that either is in poor health or diseased, that they're coming to us for a permit.
Tree.
And that's going to give us an opportunity at the time to, in some cases, there are places on that subdivision where it's planted way, way, way too heavily. For instance, this corner up here, those three trees are so tight to each other. And truly, if one day one of those were to die, I would suspect that the answer out of this body might be, hey, no, don't mitigate that, right? And so again, the real thing we're trying to do is basically lay down the law that they come to us.
Right.
But that doesn't need to come to us.
Well, it doesn't, but that's why this was under the discussion item. I mean, I could have totally done this in an administrative fashion without ever discussing it with you guys. But one of the things I did want your input on and truly hear your recommendation.
Cool.
In the common area, which is a little bit different, before I go there, I want to just finish on street trees. Our standard is one tree per 30 feet. And they got all hung up about the fact that that means one tree every 30 feet. How do I do that when I have planter boxes that are at 20-foot intervals? And the truth is, when we do a subdivision, we look at the linear footage of all of the frontage and divide that by 30. That's the number of trees we're looking, spacing as needed, right?
Right. Yeah.
So if you look at the linear footage of all of this frontage, divide it by that 30, for them to be in compliance with our code, they would need to have about 110 trees. There's currently over 120 street trees. So I'm not concerned about it being underplanted. I'm concerned about making sure that they replant those areas where they're currently missing. And the thing that I'd really like you guys' input on is the common area. What was planted in there, you can see the original plan had pretty heavy planting in that common area. A number of them were birches, which have since died. They have worked with Julie Smitherin, who's one of our water conservation techs. She suggested they put in some dogwoods in one place, and I can't recall what the other thing that was suggested in another place. What I would be looking for you guys is, would you want to be suggesting additional plantings in those common areas? And with regards to those two places where they really do need to add trees, do you want to use this opportunity to recommend a particular species of those 2/3 plantings? And so that's what I would like your input on. Because again, any future removals are gonna come this way anyway. So what I'm looking for is
appropriate trees.
Appropriate trees for the two spaces where they gonna plant. Your guys' opinion about whether the place where they're asking to not plant doesn't need to be planted. And then finally your opinions on the common area. So that's kind of what I had to say, and I'll be more than happy to field any questions you guys might have.
Is there shade enough to plant dogwoods?
In the common area? Yeah.
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 So they get some shade. So fry it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool area.
Yeah, it is a great neighborhood.
It's a really nice neighborhood.
It's a way to get off the street and still get somewhere. It's pretty neat. It's basically like an alleyway, but it's a path.
Yeah.
It's like planted.
And
it's pretty neat.
Chris, from you, there's an email in the record that you corresponded with one of the property owners with larger specimens that will do well in small spaces. And you mentioned Zelkova or little leaf lindens. And then, of course, there's, you know, a number of smaller trees. But again, you know, I do want to make a point of this applicant's, the property owner's letter about, you know, making sure that we hear them about species diversity. And the concern, I think, from him is, you know, the benefit of planting a smaller tree in a smaller space is that tree may live a much longer life. Whereas what I'm hearing from him is, you know what, if we have to plant trees every 20 years, and that's the cost of having larger statured trees, I'm good with it. And so there's a little push and pull there. Anyway, I've rambled on enough and would love to hear what you guys have to say.
This aerial photograph is great because you can kind of see the shadows cast.
Yeah.
In particular, the trees that they're requesting to not plant, you can kind of tell whether the canopies are touching each other by the way the shadows are being cast on the street. That's cool.
Well, I think the main reason to plant another tree there is that, so our involvement, these, it was a bad storm year, it was 4 or 5 years ago, and all these redwoods just start. A great example, these redwood ashes were planted in strips like this wide, right?
Mm.
And then they were planted with root barriers. So you got this 40-foot tall tree.
Oh. Right.
And a root zone.
On a stiletto.
Yeah.
So it wasn't root barriers
at all.
It's like just root.
Yeah, they didn't spread beyond the root barriers and they just.
And every planting hole is like that.
Just about, yeah. Well, the, I mean, the, all the ones we removed, I don't remember how many.
Root barriers, but still specified in code.
I wonder if they could go in and remove them after they're planted. Like pry them out of the ground.
The barrier?
Yeah. 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 They're too far plastic. Gone at that point. So we replaced with Zocoba, and some of them wanted maples. We did some maples as well.
Uh-huh.
And those are nice, especially because there's a good diversity in there. Alan Campbell, who I think sent this, he planted some nice, really big Zocobas there. They're nice big trees. They're going to have issues
with the sidewalk.
20 years with the sidewalk, and there's no space, but. And as you come in, I think those are all crepe myrtle, or not crepe myrtle, but they're crab apples. So they're really pretty flowering in the spring.
Coming off of Mountain Street.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my history with it. My experience with it, they were good at planting. And I think that gap was one that they had done years ago that probably Derek picked them on from the stump there, but they never had permission. So yeah, it'd be nice to have another tree there. If for no,
we're talking about this spot here, right?
Yeah, it's that tree. It's like
yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
That car is?
Yeah. No, it's basically
what it's right. There's
nothing
in your packet.
Oh, right.
Like
a mailbox.
I
think it's here in the area. The redwood ash is a few feet down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Right there. Oh, okay, the other side of the
driveway.
Yeah.
Well, back to the beginning, I'm glad they didn't stick to the monoculture of red buds around the whole thing.
Yeah.
They
don't do real well with pavement, do they?
Red buds?
They can be sensitive.
Yeah, they're the pea family, so I don't think they'd like it super hot. I'd be like full sun but water.
And they've got one or two in there along this street, and they're just not great trees. That's fine. Anyway.
So you just want some input.
I would like your input on species selection for the three, what I see is three planting locations that need to be planted. I would like your opinion on whether additional plantings should be required in the common area. And those are the main things I'm looking for from you.
Tell me again the three spots. Is that the one we just talked about?
Sure. So the three spots they're saying is, yes, we should plant a tree. Yes, we should plant a tree. No, we feel like we shouldn't have to plant a tree.
So yes here. Yes here.
Right. They should. That's that open one that you said, right?
They
should definitely.
No.
Near the mailboxes, right?
Correct. This is right near the mailboxes.
They should plant a tree there.
Requiring them to plant one more tree.
Yeah.
One more than they're asking to plant, yeah.
I think they should plant it. It's wide open.
Or is that planter strip just full of mailboxes?
Yeah.
And some kind of shrubbery.
There's a lot of shrubbery.
A lot of shrub, and that was a challenge because we planted one in that stuff down towards the corner. It was a lot to act through.
And that, as a pedestrian, that shrubbery is super annoying in that neighborhood because you can't make, you have to like you're always having to like go around it to cross the street. Like you can't just like step out and cross the street where you want to cross the street. Mm-hmm. I walk through that neighborhood all the time.
It's like a hedge.
Yeah, it's like a hedge. I'd rather that there were trees there, but you know, if that's their neighborhood, whatever, it's not my neighborhood. That's just my little bitch about the shrubbery.
But they could certainly plant a very small tree next to the mail, you know, or another flowering apple.
I think it looks out of place kind of fair. So ultimately, you're giving them a lot of exemptions from the original plan, right, that don't make sense and in the way, and just asking them to plant one more tree than they're planning on, correct?
Correct.
Mm.
residency.
And then also, you know, we got to come up with a recommendation as far as variety for even the other zones too.
Well, so don't get too hung up about future species selection
for these replacements.
Well, no, that's what I. Sorry, I thought you were talking about down the road. Yes, I would. Yes, I would love your input on those three places.
Yeah, without looking at the physical location from the side view, for me, it's really tricky to know what.
So here's another thing that we could totally do. This has been marinating on my desk since May.
How wide's that?
If this waits another month, and that gives each of you the ability to do a drive-through, give it a little thought, we could bring this back next month, and if you all feel like you might have better input on that, we can totally do that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and then what was on the list so far? Yeah. Zolkova.
So Zolkova, Maple, Little Leaf Linden was another one that you mentioned.
I would add Black Tupelo, Nyssa sylvatica.
Black Tupelo?
Tupelo, yeah, like Tupelo honey.
That gets big.
It gets big. So does Zolkova's, but they do well for that spot. If they're willing to sacrifice, be prepared for a big set. It also grows really slow.
Is that a robinia? Like a locust?
No, it's Nyssa sylvatica.
Nyssa sylvatica.
Yeah. Really pretty fall color, great form. They do really well in tight spaces.
Very hardy.
Slow grow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this has been, I mean, waiting another month wouldn't maybe hurt, but
it is a good planting time right now, or in spring.
Yeah, that and just, you know, I mean, that's kind of like, I hear people complain about that all the time, how long the city takes to do everything.
They're not pushing this to go faster.
They're not. Okay.
If anyone's got a bee in their bonnet, it's Aaron.
I feel confident in your choice of trees that they'll be good.
Yeah. You know. If they're one of a large stature, your paper bark maple again.
Yeah, that'd be pretty.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that'd be a nice specimen near the post boxes because you really get to look at it up close.
And they don't have to get a huge one. It doesn't have to break the bank to get something going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, we could add that to the list. And, I mean, what would you guys think if we just created that list and said, hey, it's your home, you know.
Choose from one of these.
You know, just plant the tree. This is a recommended list, you know. It's just a recommendation. I mean, we could even make it just a suggestion for it, and then it carries even less weight. But I think, are we all... the way I feel is... The mailboxes, they could definitely put a small tree next to the mailboxes. Does anyone feel that they don't want a tree next to the mailboxes?
No.
So we're all in agreement that they should plant something.
And what would be the most appropriate species of the ones we just mentioned to go there?
Would it, and not a dogwood?
Dogwood too close to the pavement.
Too close to the pavement. Okay.
Yeah, like all that.
All right. Oh, yeah, there's no... they would not be... Not be
a smaller stature one, but... The red blood,
summer radiant heat.
Yeah.
I mean, if the crab apples on going towards North Mountain are doing fine, I think a crab apple could do fine there. But then at the same time, you know, it's right in front of someone's house. Maybe we should give them the choice.
Do you know what these trees are right here? Because this is a beautiful...
Those are the crab apples.
Those are doing beautifully in that location. I think
smaller stature, they're not going to be acclimated.
Yeah.
So if they want a small one.
Okay. They're already doing well. We know they're doing well. I mean, that's a great recommendation.
So then if I were to draft this up saying where the mailbox hole is, to plant a crab apple there, and to choose in the other two locations from a black tupelo, Zolkova, maple, or little leaf linden?
I mean, they could put any of those in that spot. They're all the same size. Yeah.
Okay.
By the mailboxes?
But there's Alcova, they're probably going to have more problems with sidewalk issues.
Not if it's planted there.
I'm kidding.
So, with any of the replantings, I would think, I mean, there's sidewalk issues, but I would think larger trees are better. So, I would prefer to see sidewalk issues in the future than
a tree falling over and having to restart over. So I would think if they are going to replant and there is root barrier, to recommend removing that root barrier.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about that?
Removing root barrier, existing root barrier?
Yeah, like, you know, if the tree, you know, falls over and they're going to replant something, don't just put something right back in that root barrier box. Like,
yeah,
pull that box out and then
the root barrier usually meant for we have out with that tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Root barrier sitting there above the, with the root ball above the ground.
It's
awful. Well, for the one
a picture worth a thousand words.
Yeah. Well, with all these trees that they're needing replaced, did it remove the root barrier at all?
I don't know. These were before I was involved.
Okay.
I think that was.
Sounds like some of them were cut down, so the root barrier could still well be down
in
there.
Yeah. Also, so that's what I'm thinking. If they're going to put something.
Yeah. So that should be included in that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless would that affect like previously. You know, then built this thing. Someone said, hey, you got to use it for
1995, I couldn't tell you what the standard was.
Okay, all right. Well, so we can set that now, that just, hey, if you're going to replace it, pluck it out.
Yep. Okay. And I guess finally, are there strong feelings with regards to the common open space that it's too open and that... I mean, it's obviously inconsistent with the approved plan. It's kind of a nice open space. They have worked with our water resource conservation specialist about not planting. Does that cause you angst in that open space area? Anyone?
As in a lack of trees?
Yeah, is it not being treated enough?
It feels very green when you walk through
okay.
there.
I was thinking the
Whenever
same thing.
Whenever I've walked through there, I'm like, oh, this is so lovely,
right.
Little park-like feeling. It doesn't feel like, oh, arid landscape. It's mm-hmm. very damp.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, even in, yeah.
There's still, what, 10 trees over that are required for the
yes.
front edge, so they're
correct.
Above the total tree count.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I walked through there.
I mean, they could put like a nice little dogwood in there or something if that's what Julie thinks would work with their irrigation plan. They've got room for something pretty to look at.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, without physically being there, you know, I think larger trees are going to be better in the common space, I think, as far as like the long term, you know, right in the most shade. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's doing a lot when they get real big.
Mm-hmm.
As far as having that like park-like feel versus
right.
like a rock garden kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
See, because so I kind of feel like this space is missing. Like, I feel like there ought to be one big old mature tree right there.
Yeah, that's the center field, though.
Oh, in the middle of the green
field. Yeah.
It's so tiny.
It's not that tiny.
It's pretty small. I'm like. She like just oh I'll just go around it. It's just it's pretty
it's not
small.
Not a field of worth walking.
And no, it's maybe it's smaller than this room for sure. It's
yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, they planted grass there.
The grass.
Intentionally,
I mean.
So I mean, it kind of looks like they wanted it to be grass.
For picnics or. Kids
and I don't know if it was ever planted in accordance with that original landscape plan.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of suspect not.
Yeah. Well, good point. And here that looks
oh, yeah.
fully filled.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it was
yeah.
ever planted in accordance with that plan.
Mm. Yeah, so they've... Take a point there. I mean... Putting a couple of large trees in rather than having irrigated lawn? Is that what you're talking about, Aaron?
That is what I'm asking, yes.
It does conform to the original plan, and it is a good space for that, and watering lawn just does seem like a waste of... But I don't know. I mean, it's their neighborhood. Maybe they do sit out there with their kids and have picnics. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd have
someone's
to find
been,
out what the use is.
Someone's been maintaining it that way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting water, it's getting mowed.
Yeah, currently, so they lost three clusters of birch in that area, and they're going to replace with two dogwoods and a crepe myrtle.
So they have a plan. I might recommend one bigger one in that mix.
And that'll really piss them off if the city's telling them one thing and then that another. But like a black birch cluster might be.
Black birch?
Yeah.
Isn't the black birches the ones, or those white birches?
And the white birches are dying. The black birch seems to be resistant.
So what's the river birch? The one with the shaggy kind of bark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black birch is not going to be susceptible to the same.
Okay. Correct.
Right.
And so
river birch.
I just think, one more, a bigger species in that mix of dogwood.
River birch doesn't get attacked by
that. Yeah, if the big trees
are dying. Is it the same as black, or is it separate species?
No, there's really lots of different species at that point.
Yeah. Sounds like it likes water, though.
Is it wet in there?
No.
It seems like there's sufficient irrigation.
It can handle water, but it doesn't have to have. Okay. It just grows slower.
I'm not super attached to that. We could put lots of different stuff in there. But.
There's a number of small trees that have those green bags for watering, and there's like a viney thing that is climbing up some of the small trees. Obviously, that should be cut back.
Yeah.
I mean, was that in May, you're saying?
That was today.
That was today.
Yeah.
So it's a perennial.
And the water bags are still sitting out
there? Yeah, and they're not being used.
Oh, they
are being
used. Seems
like they should be taken in over the winter, shouldn't they? They're going to degrade.
Yeah. the vine could be blackberries.
No, it's not blackberry.
They're landscape contractors.
Yeah, who's their maintenance?
Right.
That's unknown to me.
I don't
know. All right.
Unknown.
I appreciate all your input. I think I have received enough that I can draft that in a manner that will get the message across. And sorry for taking so much time with that.
No problem. None of us is. Nobody knew.
Okay.
See, look at that. It's 8 p.m. I'm officially running out of steam. It happens right at 8.
Did you have something you wanted to say to us?
Just one thing. Nice to see you all in operation. These new pods, and I want to take down trees or put trees up on my property. So.
If you're in a single-family zone, you're good to go.
Unless they're a street tree.
So the one thing is... We will be, the Wildfire Safety Commission will again re-engage this year with a wildfire safety campaign that will go April, May, June. And just like last year, talking about several different topics, wildfire safety, preparedness, landscaping plans. And so we figure out that plan, which we're in the coming weeks we'll be doing. We'll share that information with you, and if there's any cross-pollinization with that, you let us know.
Cool.
So something that did come up tonight that might be able to be adopted on your guys' end for any other future wordings and things is applicant is going to build a new structure, and the way the wildfire safety ordinance stuff is now is like before they even start building their house, they've got to prune back any existing trees to that estimated 10-foot mark from that structure. But they were requesting, hey, we don't want to like needlessly cut off too much, so can we build the house and then bring it to that standards? And we thought that was a great idea, and we made that recommendation.
Before they get their certificate.
Sometimes
roof lines change.
Existing structures are dealing with those issues anyway. So, wait until after the improvements go in.
Or just
and then
to allow them that if they want,
Sure.
And on our end, too, having those lower limbs, that's going to help potentially keep the tree protection area a little bigger, too. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Keep people from moving the fence in and stuff.
So I can be really specific about this. You're proposing
pruning to the 10-foot zone after the completion of the
structure.
The structure.
Yeah, after the completion of the envelope, but before the certificate of occupancy.
Yeah, the COA.
Right.
So that way it's... they're still getting checked on, like, hey, did you guys do this?
Mm-hmm. Certainly sounds reasonable to me.
Were there any changes? Someone said that you were updating your recommended tree list.
List and such.
Were there many changes?
We have some subcommittees that are currently working on that.
Okay.
So that's a work in process.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And I guess I was volunteered to review and make recommendations for the community wildfire protection plan. So I've got some reading ahead of me.
The section of the code that is relevant to what was just discussed would be 18.3.10.100 subpart C.
Wow, that's huge. 18.3.10.
Point C. And that is a section that deals with implementation and timeline for fuel modification areas.
Thanks for looking that up, Aaron.
Yeah.
Is that available online?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Okay.
And searchable.
You're going to read it?
It's searchable sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can just search for the word tree and read every relevant.
And I have to. And, you know, if you guys, that was just something that came up for us. And, you know, so it's not like it has to change, but on our end, it would help the health of the trees.
Yeah, and adds more flexibility and
And it's just allowing them the option to do that too.
I'll bring this up at the next meeting.
Cool.
Anything else that I can take back?
Yeah, I think previously you guys requested that not soliciting us, but just saying, "Hey, we're coming checking you guys out if we can come check you guys out."
Absolutely.
And we've, well, I think I came a few times years ago, and
I've been to a couple.
Yeah,
I've been a while.
What is your regular scheduled day again?
We
it's
are
like Wednesday,
like 11 a.m.
On a
12,
yeah, 10 or 12 or something.
Yeah,
here
calendar here.
No, it's at the firehouse.
It's at Fire Station 1 in the conference room there.
Okay.
11 p.m. The second?
A.M.?
Or did I
am I going to miss you?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
11 a.m. It's the second or third one. Next one is January 15th.
Oh, January. 11 a.m.
Yeah, it's a lot you guys are taking on. Pretty neat. A lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff in the news that must be making everyone a little bit nervous over there with all the fires in Australia. I'm not looking forward to the next fire season. Yep. We're good.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's always so much easier when you're sitting there versus when you've got to go.
Yeah, one of the things I always keep, I would love to see, I don't know which department it is that as a community member, I'd love to have a recommended.
You could protect the trees, but we've already hacked through. It's like, well, you still could keep
recommended.
And
evacuation.
Oh, yeah.
Like every neighborhood, say, just.